Morning and turn to the book of James, the fifth chapter. And today we'll wrap up our journey through James. In the fifth chapter there of James, I'm going to read from verse 11 to verse 20. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, though, that today I'm going to just focus on verse 11. And so, but I want to read the whole passage just to give the larger context. So James writes this: "As you know, we count it as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins." Lord, I pray that you'll take your word today and that you'll open our hearts to it, and that you'll plant your word into our hearts as good seed that is able to grow and grow roots deep, and Lord, produce a spiritual crop for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. How is it that we could ever put ourselves into the same group of people as Job and Elijah? Now, there may be some here who would say, well, maybe not Job and Elijah, but I'm a legend in my own mind. Well, that may be true, but in chapter 5, James pulls these two great Bible characters into the room with us. He's doing some rearranging in the house, and that's been something that's kind of hit me as we've gone through James. James is speaking to the church there in Jerusalem and beyond, and even to the church today, needing to do some rearranging in the house, moving around the seating order, lifting up the power of humility amongst a group of people that did not prefer humility. Even calling out the adultery of God's people with the world. And now in chapter 5, he's suggesting that our conversation with God might need some dusting off. Today, the house, whether it's the church house or whether it's the house of my soul, of your soul, the house is in need of some attention. We might not put ourselves in the same company as Job and Elijah when it comes to prayer. But James is inviting us to do just that. And he does so by asking three questions. So I'll jump down to verses 13 and 14 just to pull in these questions. The first question is this: are you in trouble? Second question: are you happy? And then the third question: are you sick? Now, I want these three questions to be ones that we hang on to, because maybe these three questions are the basic things that move us into prayer. Trouble, joy, and sickness. And that we find ourselves drawn into prayer when we experience those things. It may be a prayer of praise if we're experiencing joy, a prayer of gratitude to the Lord. When we're experiencing trouble, it's a heart cry to the Lord, help. When we're sick, or when there are others who are near and dear to us who are sick, we're asking God for healing. But these three questions seem to touch on the very things that are basic to what draws us into prayer, which prayer really is a conversing with God. It's how we talk with God. And prayers can include a lot of different kinds of praying. But essentially, when we're praying, we're talking to God. And many times, it's not just a one-way conversation, or it doesn't need to be. We're good. We've mastered that monologue in prayer. And maybe sometimes there's that time and that place to quiet down and to be silent, stop talking in prayer, and let God begin to speak. And God does that through His Word. But God also speaks into our hearts through His Holy Spirit in words that many times are louder than any audible voice could be spoken. And many here today know that voice. It's just like Jesus said, "My sheep follow me, and they follow me because they know my voice. They recognize it. They know it when I'm speaking to them." And so in that similar way, prayer invites us into that, not just our speaking to God, but also our listening to God. So, these three kinds of prayers seem to be basic. Prayers in times of trouble, in times of joy, in times of sickness. Now, Job knew all three of these kinds of prayers. And I suppose Elijah did too, and perhaps we do. Maybe we know these ways of praying. And James allows Job, in his passage as he writes, he allows Job and Elijah to invite us to walk with them in prayer. To not see them as those who are far beyond us and inaccessible. Job as the great perseverer and Elijah as the great prophet. And then how do we rate ourselves? But no, James wants us to enter into and invites us to walk with these two in prayer. That's really what those questions lead to. They lead us into prayer. Job went and that story is familiar to many. It's a story, the story of Job is a story that is known to the church, but it's also known in the world. It's just a common story that captures us in terms of the suffering of Job. But Job didn't start out suffering. Job went from happy. Job had a full and meaningful life. He had a wonderful family and good work, and his life was meaningful. Job went from happy to troubled as all of that world began to fall apart. And he went from troubled to sick as his body began to be buffeted and attacked. And he became sick physically. But thank God it doesn't end there. That in that story of Job, Job ends up happy again. Now, in the story, Job actually gets back from God all that he had lost and even more. And in the midst of it all, at the very point along a very long journey of prayer, because that's how I read Job. I read it as a journey of prayer. Conversations with friends, but also conversation with God, and times when Job quiets down or is made to be silent even, and God speaks. And so this is a journey in prayer. And at every point along that long journey of prayer that Job had, Job got back not only what he had lost. Think about this. Not only did he get back all that he had lost, Job got back a new and deeper walk with God. He, through that long journey of prayer and trouble, got what he had lost materially and physically, but he actually gained even more than that as he gained a kind of deeper and newer relationship and walk with God. This morning, I'm mindful that there are many in Upper East Tennessee who have, like Job, lost it all. They've lost homes. They've lost family members and friends. They've lost barns and livestock. They've lost businesses and property. And this morning, they're lost. And when you have lost, it's not always easy to hear the words about the Lord's compassion and mercy. One might wonder why the Lord's compassion and mercy didn't save them from trouble to begin with. Job wondered, and Job questioned, and Job wrestled and fought and grieved and was angry. Job wondered, and we wonder about these things, and we should wonder about these things. God does not always preempt trouble. But God does know what to do in a time of trouble. It may take time. It took Job time. But in due time, God's compassion and mercy rise above the trouble. And God's compassion and mercy reveal God's invitation to Job, God's invitation to all who experience trouble to walk even more closely with him than before. What Job really got after all the trouble, what Job really got was a deeper, newer relationship and walk with the Lord God. So, are you in trouble? If you are, know that you are in the same company as Job, the great perseverer. Are you in trouble? It's a question that invites you and me not to necessarily seek to get out of the trouble. Sometimes we cannot. It rises up and comes at us and hits us and overwhelms us before we even know what's happened. Sometimes trouble is unavoidable. And so I'm not suggesting that we necessarily seek to get out of the trouble, even if we could. Are you in trouble? It's really a question that invites us not to seek to get out of trouble, but it invites us to seek God in the midst of the trouble. There in the midst of trouble are questions that you have. Good questions. Deep, longing questions. Fair questions. Understandable questions. That should never be muted. No one should ever tell you not to go to God with any and all questions that you would have. Ask them of God. You have a question in the midst of trouble? Ask that question of God. In the midst of trouble, there are doubts. Even the most faith-filled person who finds themselves in the midst of trouble will have doubts that take hold. Don't let anyone dismiss your doubts. Express them to God. Now, keep in mind, these are all in the context of what? Of prayer. A journey, a walk with God in prayer. Questions? Ask God. Doubts? Express them to God. There is anger in these times of trouble. Anger that grips us and grabs hold of us and we can't beat it down. It's there. And what I want to tell you is this. There can be unhealthy ways of releasing anger. Sometimes anger held in causes there to be damage to yourself. And so you don't hold it in. You don't lay it off onto other people. Express anger. Let it out to God. In times of trouble, there is loss. Sometimes loss that you cannot recover. Sometimes that loss leaves like a hole that cannot be filled. And I'm not even going to stand here today and tell you that God will fill that. There is loss in times of trouble. And so we weep before God. We weep before God. We mourn and wail before God in grief and in loss. You see, trouble of all kinds. It could be relational trouble. It could be natural disasters. It could be politics. It could be finances. It could be your grades in school. All of these and all other kinds of troubles cause us to feel uneasy and uncertain, like we don't know where to turn or who to listen to. And in that space of trouble, if I've named your trouble today, maybe I've not named it, but you know what it is. In that place of trouble in your life and in your heart, in that space, Job invites us to go with him into prayer to see at least two things. To go with him in prayer, to recognize, first of all, God's presence in trouble. God is there with you. He may not preempt the trouble, but nothing can remove God's presence from you. God is there. Job invites us to prayer, to a kind of prayer, so that we find God's nature to be our anchor. Who God is becomes our anchor. And this is where compassion and mercy come in. James tells us what this anchor is. It is God's compassion and God's mercy. God may not take the trouble away. Loss may come. Things we don't understand may happen. But in the midst of it, we find God to be who God is, and he is a God of compassion and mercy, and trouble does not change that. Amen. We find God to be there, and we find God to be who he is, the God of compassion and mercy. You'll be glad to know this morning that the other two questions I'm not going to get to today. I'll save those for another time. But today, might we feel the Lord drawing near? Might we begin our walk of prayer with him? And might we experience, and maybe that experience is completely unexplainable. Maybe it is unexpected. But nevertheless, it is a real experience with the living God. Might we begin our walk of prayer with him and experience what is very much needed an experience with God in the fullness of his compassion and mercy. Amen. Lord, this day, you invite us into a walk of prayer with you. We don't have to get out of our trouble or beyond our trouble in order to walk with you, Lord. And that time of trouble feels uneasy and uncertain, and possibly even times where the worst of us seems to come bubbling out. And yet, Lord, you're inviting us to walk with you in prayer, as Job did, and to find, as Job did, that you are present and that your character is intact, that you are the God of compassion and mercy, and you meet us in our trouble with who you are. Thank you, Lord. You know our needs. You know our hearts today. You know the holes in our hearts today. And I pray, Lord, that you will, in your time, in your wisdom, in your power, in your compassion and mercy, meet us and minister to us at our point of need today. We pray for all who suffer today, especially in Upper East Tennessee, which feels close to home for some of us. And our hearts lift up those in that area. And we ask you, Lord, for them to be present and to be who you are, a God of compassion and a God of mercy. And no trouble can change that. I thank you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.